Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that God will meet you in this time with a fresh revelation of His love for you and that you will be challenged to align with the amazing plans that God has waiting for you. Here's this week's message from Pastor Claude.
So, it makes a few weeks that we were aiming for today en route to Easter. And one of the main themes that we wanted to focus on is amazing love linked to being awakened to His love. And being awakened to His love, I think it's one of the greatest thing that we can ever experience when we start to see and understand how much we're loved. It's like you have the choice to have the full picture or just have a few glimpses of it. And I think about my wife when there's a sunset. She always calls me, Claude, come and see the sunset. And sometimes I don't really have the interest to see the sunset, right? I go in the front and I say, yeah. She says, you're not seeing it. You got to come here and then you'll see it better. So I go and then, usually it's better than I expected. And sometimes when it comes to Easter, when it comes to this love that God has for us, sometimes we don't really see it. Well, we hear about it, we think about it to some degree, but it's not life-changing. And I believe that when you dive in the reality of God's love, when you dive in it and you see how much God loves you, it wrecks you. It really does. When you look at the forgiveness of sins, when we look at the rescue mission, the grand story from Genesis to now that's still going on, God is on a rescue mission to rescue humanity with the good news of His Son that became the bridge, the one that reconciled us to the Father, that forgives our sin, even though we might be lost, even though we might be confused, even though we might be doing our own stuff, Jesus comes and He rescues us. What an amazing story, right? And my prayer this morning is that you would see and that you would tap into the truth that you're deeply loved. And all of this amazing day, everything that led to today, the resurrection of our Lord, was to bring us freedom and was to reconcile us into a relationship with God that was damaged, that was wedged because of sin. And Jesus is this eternal sponge that takes away my sin. Unreal, right? That you come to Him and you confess your sin, you admit your need of Him, and you see the beauty of the cross, and you see how amazing He loves you, no strings attached, and He's there for you. It brings you to a place where you are overwhelmed. And when the deeper you go within this knowledge, the more marvelous it becomes. So when we look at this day on Easter morning, it's the cornerstone of our faith. Like it changed the disciples forever. It changed everything about them. And all those that saw Him, hundreds that saw Him after His resurrection before His ascension. And when we look at the cross, we got to remember the cross is linked to the resurrection. You can't remove resurrection from the cross. The cross talks about the forgiveness of sins, that He came to take our iniquities and carry our shame, and to make a way for us to know the Father, where what separates us from God is now open. He was able to remove what was in the middle. And if you look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, it says, "For Christ died for sins once and for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit." Here we see a snapshot of Easter, right? We see Christ died, the King died, the Anointed One died for our sin once and for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, meaning He died for us, and He rose again. If you look at Romans chapter 4, verse 25, it says, "He was handed over to die because of our sins, and He was raised to life to make us right with God." Here again, we see the link between the cross and the resurrection. The resurrection is like a receipt. It validates that the Father accepted Jesus' sacrifice as a full payment for our sins. And so the resurrection is a proof that the sacrifice that was offered by Jesus was acceptable. What it really means to us is that the door is open, the veil has been torn, we have access to God, we can experience God on a personal level, we can walk with God. What was lost and broken in the garden is now restored, that we can have intimacy with God, we can approach Him with freedom because of His sacrifice. Amazing, right? Galatians chapter 3, verse 28 says, there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We see here the door is open. All of us can experience this amazing grace and experience this deep love that God has for us as we come to the cross, as we see our need, as we realize how much we are loved and how much we are desired. Because really, when we look at this grand story in the scripture from Genesis to today, we see God pursuing us. We see God desiring to be in our lives. We see God wanting to have fellowship with us. That's the story of humanity, God pursuing us and us saying we can do it without you. It's up and down, up and down. We pursue God and then we get comfortable and then we think we can do it without God and then we find ourselves again walking by ourselves and what happened is that we choose our own ways and then we come and we hit a wall and then we turn to God and He comes and rescues us. That's the story of humanity. But what's the beauty of this is that God never stopped pursuing us. Amen? Never stops pursuing you. Never stops pursuing you. It says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. Like, there's no race here. There's no status. It's whoever that calls upon the name of the Lord, whoever believes that Jesus is risen from the dead, whoever turns to Him, whoever sees this amazing grace and this amazing love and says yes to it and comes under it and says, yeah, I want you to be in my life. God says that He will come and rescue and be there. Amazing. Amazing picture of grace. And that's what we're celebrating today. Like His atonement defeated the enemy. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, look what it says. God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. Can you say that to your neighbor? All our sins. All our sins. He forgave all our sins, having canceled the written code. Like everything that is against you. Because if you disobeyed one phrase from the law, you were condemned. And so He says here in this text, having canceled the written code with His regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us, He took it away. He took it away and nailed it to the cross. And having disarmed the power and the authorities, in other words, the devil, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross, meaning that He took away what the accuser had on us. Like the enemy lost his right to accuse us and lost his cause against us because we were forgiven. So when you said yes to the gospel and you said yes to Jesus, when the accuser comes against you and accuses you from your past and comes and tries to dirty your name, there's nothing on paper. There's nothing to accuse you. The accuser of the brethren is pushed aside because of Jesus that took on Himself our sins and our rebellion. Amazing when you think about that, right? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Wow. The old has gone and new has come. What an amazing gospel. The old is past. Everything is becomes new. I have a new name. I'm born again. I'm rebirth in God. What an amazing gospel, right? And my prayer is that all of you would know that. All of you would see how much you're loved. I think what our world needs, what the church needs, is to see the depth of God's love for us. And I believe that as a believer, I see how deep the love of God is for me. It will trigger devotion. It will trigger worship. It will trigger love towards others. It will trigger mission, because I'm taken and I'm taken by this love that is beyond my understanding, and I want to give it away. Like, we live in a world today where it's hard, right? We look at the news, we look at all the instability that we have around us, right? Look at the price of fuel, you look at what's happening in the Middle East, and it's kind of scary, right? And you look at a recent Gallup survey, it showed that depression has reached historical heights. More people are experiencing suicidal thoughts and tendencies, deep despair. Self-harm has increased, especially among the young people, will they cut themselves and hurt themselves. Deep anxiety, hopelessness, addictions, and emptiness. This is the state of our world. You would think it would be the opposite, because we are the most prosperous generation, or the prosperous, sorry for my English, sometimes I trip, the luxurious century that humanity has ever lived. Like, hey, we have entertainment, we have access to information. Like, what we're seeing, all those in the past have never seen. But it still doesn't fill the void, right? All this, it doesn't fill the void. What fills a void is what we were made for. It's Jesus. And Jesus came to bring us in relationship with the Father. But at the same time, he came, and this is what I like to share to you today, is that he came so that you're not alone. And we're not alone. And I need to know that I'm not alone. He's always with me. But at the same time, I need to understand that he won't override my will and the will of others. And he wants to be in my life, and he is in my life. I like the picture in Revelation chapter 3 where we see Jesus knocking at the church, at the door of the church, and he's outside of the church. He's knocking, wanting to come in, and he should be in the church, but he's not. But he's knocking at the door of the church, and he's there, but at the same time, we have the free will to say yes to him or not, but he's knocking at the door of the church, and I think he has always been knocking. And we need to say yes. And I believe he's always been knocking on my heart and your heart all the time, because his desire is to be in your life. The desire of God is to be with us. And the meaning of the resurrection, the heart of the resurrection, is that God wants to be with us. Through history, that was his desire, to be with his people. He made us for fellowship. So when Jesus rose from the dead, he made a way for me to know him, to experience him. First of all, to awaken me to how much he loves us, so I can respond to him in this love that is mutual. But the love I'll have for him will never compare to the love he has for me, right? But at the same time, I need to realize that God wants to be with me, and he wants to be with you. And I think it's so important for us to see that. Not that I want to give you a bad flashback, but I want to give you a little scenario about this. I remember when we went through COVID, and I don't want to go there too much because it was not a fun time for no one. But I remember at the end of it, it was the tail of it. And I was pretty much undone. I didn't know what to do. You know, you get your tension caught in between. You don't know what to do. Never been there before. And then John Friesen, one of our executive pastor, told me, Claude, we should go and pray. And then we go in the back room and in the Sunday school room, and we start to pray and we start to worship. And the presence of God came there. It was so thick. I couldn't even stand on, I didn't even choose to go on my knees. Actually, the carpet was too thick. I wanted to go under the carpet because the presence of God was so real. And it happened at the same time that John was there. Presence of God came in, and I was not close to John. He was at the other side of the room. Both of us just fell face on the ground. And then I hear this voice in my heart, Claude, I'm here. I'm here now. I'm here. Have my peace. And all the anxiety and the stress and all the stuff just melted away. And I guess the reason why I'm preaching this on Easter is because what happened to me on that day, I realized that he's always been with me. He's always been there, always wanting to be with me, always wanting to walk with me, always wanting to assist me. And that's the heart of God. And when we celebrate Easter, what we're celebrating is Jesus wanting to be with you. He walked in the church in the book of Revelation. We see him walk with the disciples. Through history, he's always been there, and he wants to be with you. Doesn't matter where you are in this journey of life. Doesn't matter what messes you're dealing with. He wants to be in your boat. He wants to walk alongside of you. And that changes everything when you see him in the boat. Would you agree? It changes everything when you see him. When I encountered this and me and John looked at each other, I told my story, he told his story, and we had the same story and we didn't talk. We realized it was really God coming in and encouraging us to move forward. That's the presence of the Lord. And Jesus wants to be personal. He wants to be in your life, right? We don't want to miss on that. Like, he wants to be in your daily life. The resurrection causes the truth or the fact that he wants to be in your daily life. Look what it says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. What he's saying to the church is that don't rely on money. Don't rely on the things that are here. Realize that God will care for you. He will take care of you. And it's so easy for us to do life and we make life happen. We are responsible. And we got to be responsible with what we have, for sure. But when we love money as seeing money as our way, as our solution, we're missing the boat. Because Jesus is saying, I'm with you. I'm going to make a way for you. I'll care for you. I'll provide for you. I'm with you. That's what he's saying. He's saying, I'm with you in daily living. I know that worry and anxiety are real emotions, and we all deal with it, but there's a supernatural peace when you turn to him. There's a supernatural peace when you let him in, when you say, God, come in. And you'll see God will make a way, and he will be there, and he will bring in your heart such a deep peace. I look at the example of Paul as he's doing what he's called to do in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17. Look at this verse. It's so unreal when you think about it. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. So Paul is in Rome and he's waiting for his sentence, and he's before the leaders of Rome. And he says, the Lord stood on my side. What a beautiful picture, right? It's not just a story, it's a reality. Jesus was there on his side. And he was able to do what he was called to do. He was able to experience probably an extra time because he had a death sentence. When it says, when it talks about the lion's mouth, we don't know what it means, but he was kept from whatever the enemy had against him. But what we find here is the Lord stood at my side. Look at life. Look at what you're going through. Look at the circumstances. Jesus wants to be walking with you. He wants to be on your side, right? He wants to be at your side. I find that so amazing. And that's what the resurrection brings forward. It brings me to a place where he's with me. I remember a story many years ago when the kids were young. We were living in Northern Ontario. We were just a few streets away from the Trans-Canadian, and a lot of semis were just zooming by. In many occasions, we had to go a bit on the Trans-Canadian to go further in the village. So we go on the Trans-Canadian a bit, and then we are able to go to bank and all that. Anyway, long story short is my wife goes, and she leaves home, and then she goes on the Trans-Canadian. She's going to go on the Trans-Canadian, and then as she's embarking or stepping on the gas, she hears this voice, look again. And she looked again, and the simi just zoomed by. I remember when she came back at the house, she had like, it's like she had seen a ghost. And she said, you know what happened? She said, I don't know if it was an inside voice or an outside voice, but it was yelling, what? Look again. It's amazing, right? I'm really grateful for that. But it's the reality of Jesus being with us. You see? I need to realize that was the intent of God, to make us his habitation, to walk with us, to partner with us, to have supper with us, like it says in the book of Revelation, to relate in a way that is personal and life-changing, and that's the heart of God. Like, he is with me when I'm overwhelmed. And the text I'm going to read is linked to the messianic promise, Isaiah 40, verse 29. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youth grow tired and weary, and the young man stumble and fall. But those who hope or trust in the Lord will renew or wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not be faint. See, that's what Jesus does. Jesus, like Red Bulls, doesn't give you wings. Jesus does. Jesus does. You let Jesus in. You let Jesus in. You give him room. You say, God, yeah, I want you in my life. Start your day. God, I want you in my life today. Go to bed. God, I want you to be in my dreams. You get up the next morning, I want you to be beside me. I want you in my life. And when you know that's God's intention and that's God's desire, it's unreal when you think about it. And the only thing is you got to give him room. And if you give him room, he comes in. And he comes in and he leads and he speaks. And it's amazing. It doesn't mean it's going to be a straight line. It doesn't mean it's always going to be easy. But he's going to be with you in the situation. And it's changed everything. Have you ever been in a place where you chose to go on your own? Versus when you said, God, come along with me. The difference? It's night and day. It's night and day. So we want to see and understand that God wants and is with us, that we want him with us. Like it's, I look at Matthew 28, verse 19, when it comes to the calling, it says, go and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And look what he says. He says, just do it. You go, go, go. He says, yeah, go. But he says, but surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. You're not going to do this alone. I'll be with you. I'll walk with you. Like, when it comes to the mission, we're all on mission. We all have a calling. And God gives us this assurance, I'll be with you. I'll be with you. I want to see that. And you know what? I'm going to go a little deeper. I believe that if I see him with me, I'll go even further. I believe that if I see him with him, I will even take more risk. I believe that if I see him with me, I will obey more. I believe that if I see him with me, I will be more available. It changes when you see God with you. And the goal of the resurrection was for God to walk with us, to be with us. It's amazing, right? And we want to see that. He's with us when we are in hardship and we're in the valley. I look at when Jesus stood before the crowd and he says, I am the good shepherd, right? I'm the good shepherd. Psalm 23, right? It's not a funeral text. It's who Jesus is in our daily living. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Like, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And number four, verse four, right? What a verse. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Can you say that to your neighbor? He's with me. He's with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I'm secure in you. And you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil because he's with me. My cup overflows because he's with me. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life because he's with me. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever because he's there. I want to be with him too. See, that's the heart of our life. It's to understand that we are loved by God and valued by him. And in return, we want to love him back. Like, he's with us when fear wants to take control. I look at John chapter 20 after, like, we think about Good Friday and we think about Easter morning, but Saturday was not a good day for the church. It was not a good day for the disciples, right? You're caught in between, right? And sometimes some of us were right there on Saturday, right? We're on Saturday. But on Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting together behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. Like, what a picture, right? They're afraid, they're dismayed. And then Jesus says, peace be with you. I look at this journey of life. I need to see that in my life. Would you agree? I need to see that in my life. There's times in my life I need to see him, and he's there. And if I take the time, I'll see him, and it's going to make a big difference, right? It's because this is what Jesus came to do. You look at Isaiah 61, the mission of Jesus. He says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to set free the prisoners, proclaim liberty to the captives. This is why he came. He came to bring freedom, right? And so we want to see that in our lives. One of the verses for me, I remember being a teenager, that I remember reading that for the first time. It really, really rocked me. And I was saying, God, this is so amazing. In Isaiah 43, verse 1, it says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've summoned you, called you by name. You're mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through fire, you won't be consumed. You won't be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I'm the Lord, your God, the Holy One, Israel, your Savior. I know he's talking to Israel, but I believe that God wants us to know that he's with us. Maybe you feel that you're underwater. Maybe you feel that you're in fire, but he's with you. He's always with you. And it changes everything when we see this. When I was preparing, what I had in my heart to say to you, what I believe God wanted to say to you, is that you're not alone. You're not alone. You're not alone. Be awakened to his love. Realize that you're deeply loved. That he's with you in your context. That he's with you where you are. Like when I was talking about hurting yourself when it comes to being caught and having to have booze or having to appease your heart and all this. He's with you. He wants you to turn to him. He wants you to experience his presence, experience the freedom that he brings, right? And it's when I turn to him, it changes everything. Maybe you're here today and you don't usually come to church on Easter morning. Like, God knows where you are. He wants to be in your life. Maybe you walked away from the Lord and you're here, but you're not here. He came for you. He wants you back. He's been hunting you down with love to get your attention so you might return to him. Maybe you are walking hopelessness, emptiness, and deep anxiety. Well, Jesus wants to heal your heart. I was talking with a man last week, probably in his late 60s, and he was telling me about his testimony that he had given his life to the Lord 2 years ago. But I know this man since I've been here 20 years ago. And so I was a little shocked. What do you mean? You gave your life to the Lord 2 years ago. So yeah, he says, I was working, and then I was in a situation, and I started to think, if I would die today, I don't think I would go to heaven. And then tell you the story, and then I told him, like, you got baptized? He said, yeah, I got baptized, but it was to get married. So you've been in the church all these years. Uh-huh. And you've never recommitted your life to the Lord? Never gave your life to the Lord? Not really, no. I said, so tell me about what happened 2 years ago when you responded to the call to give your life to the Lord. What happened inside? He says, I knew at that moment I was not born again. But all these years, like attending church, like, I said, you were not a believer? He says, no, I don't think, no, I wasn't. Like, and then I told him, is it okay if I tell your story? Because there might be some people here on Sunday morning, on Easter morning, are on the same boat, that you've been here all your life or you've been in the church all your life, but it's never become personal. It never became personal. Rules, regulation, culture, Christianity, but it never became personal. You know, that's not what it's supposed to be like. What it's supposed to be like, it's receiving this amazing love that God has for you and saying yes to God. If that's you today, like, see, I just pray that your veil, the scales over your eyes would see how much you are loved and how much you're valued. I don't know what lies you believe or what threw you off course. But there's a good chance that you're not here by accident to hear this morning. That like this man in his late 50s, went to church all his life, experienced the Lord in a simple church service when he committed his life to the Lord beyond religion, changed him. Can happen to you if you allow it. But can I say that the heart of God is to be with you and to walk with you? Maybe you're here today and you're filled with anxiety and overwhelmed by whatever it is, your business, family issues, health. Hey, we know that life is not a straight line. But what will give you hope is that he's going to be with you. As I was preparing, I was saying, you know, I hope that this message will be stored in the heart and the mind of your people, because that was my hope, that one day when you maybe go through a rough patch, you'll remember this message. Yeah, he's with me. He's with me. And that's going to influence your decision making. That will influence what you let penetrate your heart. It will give you hope. But it's important for us to know as a church that Jesus is with us, that he's with us. Amen. I would ask you to stand.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.